Falk to his right. So Forsberg got the empty netter from Nyquist and McDonald. As the puck is stolen away at center and thrown into the empty net. Mark Jankowski with the honors there. 6-3 to score now with 36 and a half to go.
How about those freaking Predators? It will never get old. Starting the show with those few words. How about those freaking Predators? Predators take down the St. Louis Blues 6-3 last night. We talked about it yesterday. Look, must win is a term that's thrown around a lot, but that was a big one. That was a big swing. We said yesterday, you put away the St. Louis Blues and it feels like you got the playoffs locked up. If you fall to the Blues and they get 2 points and you get none, you're still going to make the playoffs, but it makes things unnecessarily uncomfortable. I'll take a page out of Mike Vrabel's playbook, even though he's no longer around these parts. I hope that he doesn't mind that I'll use his phrase. It wasn't pretty, but it was beautiful. It was not pretty for all three periods last night for the Nashville Predators, but they found a way to win in a game that they had to have it. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We are live from the Busy Bee Heating, Plumbing, Cooling, and Air Conditioning Studios. Willie D is here before he heads out to New York. Predators on a little New York road trip coming up this weekend. D Mace is here as well. How about those Predators?
How about those Predators? Sound like how about those Cowboys, huh? But never mind about the Cowboys. But those Predators, I mean, listen, they played. Now, 5-on-5 was a little bit testy. But when they got into their special teams, their power play, they executed flawlessly, and they stopped St. Louis from executing on their power play. So they did what they needed to do to win. It got a little hairy, I thought, for a quick minute there. But then, you know, the Predators put in another goal and kind of iced the game. But this was another game where, you know, they found a way to win. UC Soros has done exactly what he has been doing throughout this last half of the season or last 2 months of the season. He's been, you know, just like a vault in that net. He's been playing at a level that we are accustomed to seeing him play. And you need to credit that win to him because he did an excellent job because he was getting pelted, but he did an excellent job at standing strong and allowed the Nashville Predators to pick up a win last night against the St. Louis Blues, which they desperately needed. And you see how bad St. Louis needed it too. They poured their goalie, you know, just to try to get some points because they knew 1 point to them, it wasn't going to work. They needed 2 points. But fortunately for the Nashville Predators, they were able to handle that. They ended up getting a penalty, so they had to put Bennington back in the net. But they did what they needed to do here at home. That atmosphere was like a playoff atmosphere, and they rose up to the occasion. So kudos to them for, you know, playing a hell of a game, even though they do have things they need to straighten out. But their power play was awesome.
It was a very interesting game, and I agree with everything you guys have said. It just seemed like the hockey gods were saying, okay, you guys are going to have to go the hard way if you're going to win this game. Because every time it looked like they were going to push ahead and bury them, all of a sudden the Blues would come back and really take control of the game. I thought for the first 40 minutes or so, the Blues were the quicker, faster team. They were making more plays. They were moving up the ice better. The Predators were having trouble a lot. So they come out, the Predators score the first goal of the game. They started the top guys. They finally switched the starting lineup, and it pays off with an early goal. And you're thinking, in fact, I can document this. I got a text from Jared Stillman because he said they're going to blow them out tonight. You watch. They're going to blow them out. And of course, Yossi scores in seconds later, here comes the text. Oh. See, here comes the blowout.
Told you.
And then
35 seconds into the game.
Yeah, and then at the end of the first period, they're being outshot 20-10, and it's 1-1, and you're sitting there saying, man, thank goodness for the post. Thank goodness for UC Soros, because they could be down a couple goals here, right? Mm-hmm. And then even midway through the game, they're up 2-1, and they're being outshot, I think, 28-14 at one point. And it wasn't just soft shots, right? These were quality chances that the Blues were getting. Then the Luke Shen play happens where, for a moment, you're panicking. You're seeing deja vu all over. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, is Shen going to be out for the game and they're going to get a five-minute power play here? I thought they made the right call. They get the kill. They get the power play. And boom, they get the huge goal at the end of the second period to go up 3-1. But it still wasn't easy in the third. You know, it's just like every time you thought, okay, whew, exhale, they've got it, the Blues would push back. So it was a fun game, but I like how they really had to work for it.
And you bring up the Shen call. I would have lost my freaking marbles had they not reversed that call from a five-minute major to a two-minute minor. Because I will, in fairness, in real time, it looked bad. Like, it looked like Luke Shen just hit him against the boards, and it looked like from one angle that they showed on the broadcast that Luke Shen's stick just went right into Jordan Kyrou, like right into his chest. So in real time, I understood. Like, I saw it looked bad. And then you slow it down, you realize, well, Jordan Kyrou just fell down, and there was really nothing that Luke Shen could have done. It wasn't malicious. It wasn't a hit to the head. It wasn't anything like that. It was just Kyrou fell down. It's the laws of physics. Luke Shen can't slow down. The only thing that's going to slow him down is basically ramming Jordan Kyrou into the board. So a two-minute minor, fine. That would have been fine. They would have taken the penalty away altogether. Honestly, obviously, you could say, of course you would have agreed with that call, but I think that they could have taken it away entirely, but I had zero problem with a two-minute minor. A five-minute major, I think, was completely overkill, especially combined with the Ryan McDonagh situation that we saw against the Colorado Avalanche on Saturday. So I thought that that was the right call, but normally we catch up with C-Mace, Chris Mason, at 11:30 on Fridays. Like I mentioned, Willie and C-Mace and the rest of the Predators broadcast crew, they're headed out to New York. Predators taking on the Islanders and then the Devils this weekend. So C-Mace joins us now. C-Mace, it wasn't the prettiest game that the Predators have played. It wasn't the best game that the Predators have played. But between UC Saros and a power play that looked night and day different, the Predators found a way to win. Even in a game that wasn't their best, what made you encouraged about that game last night against the St. Louis Blues?
Well, I think kind of the things that you just mentioned. After the Boston game, Bruno called out the power play and said, you know, we played a pretty good game. Our power play had opportunities, you know, to get us a lead or to win that hockey game. And they didn't do it. They're kind of disconnected. They're not playing fast right now. And they came out and they responded. I think that's you know, that's the sign of a good team. You know, accountable players instead of going, you know, sulking and saying, oh, the coach is mad at us and he said we're not getting it done. These are guys that understand how they have to play and what they have to do. And at the end of the day, it's results and it's outworking a penalty kill. And most penalty kills are the opposition's hardest working guys. So you got to bring it. And I thought they did against St. Louis. I also agree with you. I don't think the guys played very well. I don't think it was a good game, hardly at all, to be honest. Binnington gave up a couple soft goals, in my opinion. But like you said, good teams find a way to win. The power play stepped up. I thought the penalty kill was really good. I believe they gave up a power play goal, but a penalty kill goal, but they were awesome. And Saros, that's the other thing that's really encouraging to me, is that's two back-to-back big games for him. I thought he looked that might have been, in my opinion, his best game of the year, just because St. Louis is all over the Preds, especially that first period, and they got a lot of really good looks. There's a lot of deflections, a lot of net front, a lot of playoff-style situations, in my opinion, and Juice was phenomenal.
UC Saros was phenomenal, and that's two back-to-back games that we've seen a great outing from UC Saros. Chris Mason is with us. And from your perspective, and from the goalie side of things, because I've seen a lot of Predators fans, that I've noticed Predators fans, they can never just take a good thing. There's always got to be an underlying sense of anxiety. Going into the playoffs, and I think some Predators fans have been anxious about UC Saros' history in the playoffs. From your perspective, how different is the game from a goalie perspective once you find yourself in the playoffs?
It's really different, but I mean, like, at the end of the day, as UC Saros really played on a team that is expected to be competitive in the playoffs? I don't think so. I mean, the 1 year in the bubble, that's it, right? Who knows how that's going to go? I don't think there's been a real situation where you could say, all right, this is a team and, you know, that's going to make a run at it. Obviously, got hurt in that Colorado series. We didn't even see him there. So I just don't think he's had that much experience and that much of a, you know, track record to really be able to make an opinion one way or another. So to me, this one, this is the one. This is one where I think, you know, this team, they're constructed the right way. They've got the right mentality. They're obviously going to play a top team in the first round. They won't be expected to win, but people are talking about the Predators now that, hey, they're going to be a tough out. This is a team that could upset somebody, and I agree with that. But they're going to be playing a top opponent, and to me, the difference in the series, I think, is a guy like UC Saros. You know, he can be the difference maker in a series. He can make or break just like any other goaltender. But I think this season in particular, this year, for me, is the one where I really want to see how he performs in the postseason.
We'll talk with C. Mace, Chris Mason, one half of the broadcasting team for the Nashville Predators, discussing their 6-3 victory over St. Louis Blues last night. A much needed win. I'm not going to say it was a dire win, but I think they needed to win to sort of stop the bleeding of the past three games. In regards to that, C. Mace, what does this do for that locker room? Because they were on a three-game losing streak, and albeit they wasn't playing bad, but they were not finishing out games. But what does a game like this, beating St. Louis for the third time, what does this do for a team that it seems like the walls were closing in for a quick minute now? But now, to me, it seems like, okay, now we're back to our winning ways.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what it did is, you know, you go on that streak, you know, you're invincible, and all of a sudden you're not. And, you know, you kind of think, are we that good, or was that just a fluke? You know, when you lose one, no big deal. Well, you lose two, you lose three. You know, they don't win that game. You know, all of a sudden St. Louis, they've got life and they're closer. They don't have that hard of a schedule left. You're kind of second guessing yourself, I think. But now that the fact that they are able to win that game, you know, get that separation from St. Louis, it's going to be tough for the Blues. You know, they have to win out, and the Preds have to lose out, basically, which is not likely going to happen. So you're good again. You know, you have that confidence in your group. You did the right things. You got a lot of good performances. Your big guys stepped up and made plays. You know, your special teams. I think it's just another confidence booster for this group to say, all right, now we can kind of, you know, go in and keep taking care of business the way that we were before and get, you know, get that good feeling in before the playoffs start, because you don't want to go, you know, it doesn't always necessarily matter, but you don't want to limp into playoffs. You don't want to just barely make it. You don't want to have come down to the last two games or the last game of the season and end up needing help, you know, even though the Blues would have had a tough time anyway, but you never know. You know, we've all seen crazy things in sports. So you just want that separation. And most of all for this group, you just want that confidence and that swagger back. And I think that win is one that could do it.
Now, looking at their lines, it's just about everybody on at least one person, it seems, on either line got a score. What does that mean for the Predators moving forward? Because it's not, and we've talked about this for the longest, that through this streak, they've been getting tremendous play outside of that first line. And they also got tremendous play outside of the first line last night. So what does that do for the confidence of the other line? Because you know what you're going to get with the first line. But as you enter the playoffs, you got to get more than just, you know, scoring and things like that for the first line. You need it from the other lines as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, for the team, I think that's we've seen all season when they have all four lines going. That's when they're at their best. That's when other teams really have a tough time matching up against them. And I think as a coaching staff too, you're just like, all right, it doesn't really matter the situation. I know sometimes they like to put the Novak line out in offensive zone situations or put Sissons out in defensive zone, but you don't really worry as much about that. And at any given point, you know, you can have production in any game, because in playoffs, obviously, the other team's focal point is going to be, hey, you shut down that top line, we're going to win, you know, the series. Shut down Forsberg, shut down Nyquist and O'Reilly, and we like our chances. But I think the Predators have proven over the streak and over the course of the year, when they're successful, they're getting production from every line. The fourth line was a big part of that. They were really good early in that streak, you know, contributing offensively. We've seen, I think, Evangelista and Mark Jankowski. He's been unreal, you know, lately. You get production from that line. And then, you know, Zucker started to score, and Sissons, you know, he's had a career year, and then Beauvillier gets his first. That's how they're built. And I think you knew at the start of the year that the only way the Predators are going to have a chance is if they get those kind of contributions, because they've got a deep lineup, and you're hoping some of those young guys could pay off. Novak, he's one I think could maybe get going a little bit here, but their line's playing well. So I think for the group, you look around the room and you're like, hey, man, every guy, every line we put out's got a chance to win the game that night. That's a really good feeling, and it, you know, makes everybody feel you know, about 3 inches taller when everyone's going together.
We're talking to Chris Mason as the team gets ready to head to the New York area. Islanders Saturday, Devils on Sunday. Islanders have crept back into a playoff spot, so that is going to be an enormous game for them. And Nashville now magic number 4 to clinch the playoff spot. Mace, last night, you know, it wasn't our broadcast, and it was so chaotic. There were so many goals scored late. They didn't really get a chance to really tell the crowd, but Philip Forsberg has now hit a couple of more benchmarks. He just keeps doing it. So I don't think there's any discussion anymore at all. This is his best all-around season, and it's not even close.
I agree. I mean, you know, the year in him and Duchesne were going back, that was a great season. He put up, you know, points per game, had a great season. But I think all around, I mean, I think we've all felt this all along, that he's a star player, but he hadn't quite maybe reached his full potential, because you've seen, I think, spurts of his, you know, tenacity and physicality, and, you know, but it wasn't as consistent. This year, I feel like he has just been on a mission. I think he's finally, you know, found himself and knows exactly what kind of player he wants to be. He's turned himself into a power forward that's responsible defensively, that plays just as hard without the puck as he does with the puck. The type of goals he's scored, you know, 70% of his goals are in the zone one net front area, where you have to pay a price to. He's jamming pucks in. He's tipping pucks. You know, he could score 50 this year. You know, it's crazy. If he goes on a little bit of a tear here, he's been just awesome. And I think, you know, now he's entered, in my opinion, I would call him a superstar in this league now. I think he's taken that step into, you know, the elite players that we always talk about, and I think he's in that group now.
Mace, are you racing the Harley Davidson motorcycle gang or something? You got some serious engine flow going around you.
Oh, that's my truck, I think. But I just got off the highway, so I'm just pulling into the I'm on Donaldson now.
He's going D-Mace speed.
It sounded like somebody was putting it in some serious gear, some motorcycles or something.
Yeah, it's a V8. 5-liter truck, so yeah, it's loud sometimes.
Had to hit the gas a little bit. Mace, I want to ask you about one other guy, and he doesn't get the headlines, but I think it's worth continuing to bring up. I noticed so many plays last night, because there were a lot of scrambles, and the Predators didn't have the puck. And you know, from day one, Andrew Brunet, we want to have the puck. And they've defended so well that they've had the puck a lot this entire year, but last night was one of those weird nights where they didn't have the puck a lot. The Blues were taking the game to them. And that's where I really noticed Ryan McDonagh. So subtle. But how many scoring plays did he, you know, jam up or cross up just by his savvy?
He really is. He's, you know, we talk about a lot on the broadcast, because he does so many things that, you know, when you first see a play, you might not realize. He never panics. He always seems to be in the right position. His anticipation and just awareness of, you know, kind of been there, done that before, and having that composure in those hectic moments when, you know, a team's all over you, they've been in the zone for 45 minutes, and his ability to, you know, to break up a good scoring chance or get the puck back or block a shot and pay the price. And he's just been unreal, you know, and I think last year, you know, we saw that as well, but more so this year. And just, you know, the value of what he does, and you could see other guys doing the same thing. I think you can see Carrier's learned, you know, from Ryan McDonagh and all the guys, I'd say everybody on the team, even Yossi, some of the things that he does back there. I think it really rubbed off on this team and made them a lot better defensively. But he is just he's had an incredible year. And we've seen his, you know, offensive savvy a little bit as well. He gets second power play time. And, you know, we didn't really get to see much of those types of skills last season. And he's had an unreal year and such a, I'd say he's the unsung MVP this year, the guy that doesn't get the, you know, the credit that maybe he deserves.
Last one for you, Mace, because I know you and Willie have to run to catch the plane, but looking ahead, because it did kind of feel like we can now breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief. You take care of St. Louis. That's a 4-point swing, 2 points you get, 2 points that St. Louis doesn't get. But the Predators still don't have that X by their name. They're going to make the playoffs, but there's still work that they have to do. So what comes next? How do you kind of stay focused and look ahead to the Islanders and the Devils this weekend rather than feeling like, okay, we can kick our feet up because taking care of St. Louis was something that we had to do when we took care of it?
Yeah, that's it's a good point. I think right now, I think they understand. They've got guys that have won. You always thought, we've talked about that a lot this year. And I think when you have guys like that in your locker room, you know, they know that this, you just can't go in, you know, playing, you know, halfway going into playoffs and expect to get off to a good start against the powerhouse. You got to go in with your game in order. You know, things have to be all and well, you know, in that locker room and on the ice. So I think that'll be the focus. It helps that you have the Islanders that are, they're going to be probably the most desperate team we've seen, you know, in the last little while. And St. Louis, I would say, is up there. So I think that helps. But when you get into the Columbus, Chicago, Pittsburgh type of games, those will be tough. And whether they decide if they, once they clinch, once they get that X, will they rest guys or what are they going to do? But you still have to have that that level of play and standard, that relentlessness that they've played with, you know, throughout this last half of the season. So it'll be very interesting. It's tough. You know, it's a different mindset because you don't quite have that urgency, but you full well know that you got to be playing hard because that's what guys get hurt too. You know, if you're not playing, you kind of 85% or 90% out, we'll just, you know, rest up a little bit, you know, quotation mark, you still got to play the game. But that's when guys get hurt and that's when you get off to, you're not ready to go in the playoffs. So I think they'll be fine, but it is a challenge.
C-Mace, appreciate you for fitting us in this morning. Thanks for adjusting your schedule to hop on with us. Willie D, C-Mace, safe travels to New York, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thank you, guys. Anything for you guys.
Appreciate you. And you guys be safe. I heard earthquakes in New York this morning. I'm assuming that's not disrupting travel for you or the Predators.
As far as we know, that is the case. So,
wow.
Yeah, that was a little... I mean, you hear earthquake, you're thinking, oh, California or something. Northeast? Quite odd.
Not normally what you think of. Not normally what you think of. But safe travels, Willie. Have a good call tomorrow and Sunday. And we'll see you on Monday.
You got it.
All right. Willie, you are the best. Coming up next, D-Mace, I want to get into the people's thoughts because I know that the people have a ton of reaction and they are fired up about the win last night. So we'll get into your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. And I think there's a glass half full and glass half empty mentality that you could take to the play on the ice, not the outcome, but what you saw from the Predators. And why I'm taking a glass half full mentality, we'll discuss. We'll get into that coming up next and do our phones as well. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
The fact that he hasn't practiced in 102, anybody
give
him a hard time.
Yeah, but he's okay. He's fine. He's I think we're just going to keep him off the ice. He's playing just fine. So
I was going to say, may as well keep going like that.
I know, yeah, exactly. We told him too, like, you don't, maybe just take the summer off and don't practice. But no, he, obviously he's battling through some stuff. So it's pretty cool to see how he's battling through it and playing on that level. And like I said before, he can stay off as much as he wants if he keeps scoring like that.
You haven't practiced since February. Are you ever going to practice again? You're on a pretty big heater here. You're pretty fresh out here for these games.
You're talking about practice?
Talking about practice!
I don't know. I want to get out there for sure, but games are more important, thankfully, and we just got to keep this going.
practice. Talking about practice? Phil Forsberg doesn't need to practice. And it is so funny because yesterday we were talking about this. Andrew Burnett was on Robbie and Rex Road and they talked about, you know, what's been keeping Philip Forsberg out of practice. And a few weeks ago, Barry Trotz mentioned a cut that's been nagging Philip Forsberg. So he hasn't practiced in weeks. 2 goals and an assist last night, first star of the game. Practice. We're talking about practice. Phil Forsberg doesn't need to practice. And last night, he tied the franchise record for single season goals, tying Matt Duchene's record. I think and they're not going to say it, but I think the Predators would love it. And they are cheering like hell for Philip Forsberg to have that record and not Matt Duchene. D-Mace.
I think we got D-Mace on the mute. I think he just pulled the Joe Rex Road.
Okay, I was about to say, I don't know if it's me that I can't hear anything or if that's on D-Mace's side.
I think it's, we're just going to call it a Joe Rex Road for right
that's
now.
That's just Joe Rex Roaded.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, Philip Forsberg has been, we've known that Philip Forsberg has been playing the best hockey of his career so far this season. And it was just apropos that we were talking about it yesterday. Like, is this any reason to be concerned? The Predators aren't going to be able to be competitive in the playoffs without the contributions of Philip Forsberg. And it's not just him. It's absolutely up and down the lineup. But the reason why the Predators are now in the position that they are in is because Philip Forsberg has been playing out of his mind this season. Is it because of the pieces around him? Is it because of Gus Nyquist and Ryan O'Reilly around him? Is it because of the Andrew Burnett system? Is it because of, is it a little bit of everything? I don't know. But whatever it is, it's working. D-Mace.
You got me? You got me back?
You're unwrecked.
There we go.
You just got unwrecked.
Yeah, I wasn't on mute. I just had to pull it out of my computer and then put it back in, and it started working again. So, but no, I mean, Philip Forsberg is playing excellent hockey right now. I think what you said is a little bit of everything. It's a little bit of coaching. It's a little bit of, you know, his line mates. It's a little bit of him figuring out now where his place is as the leader on his team as in regards to on the ice. The things that he can do now. I think he feels more comfortable in a system. When you see a great player like him struggle a little bit, it's not because he's losing it or anything. It's just that he's figuring out the new system. He has to possibly change the way that he plays a little bit. And once he gets used to that, then you start the great players, they figure it out. And once they figure it out, then you start to see the greatness in them. And that's what you're seeing now.
And D-Base, looking at the game last night, I think there's probably two different perspectives that you could look at it from. I know that myself and you and Willie and every Predators fan out there is glad that the Predators just found a way to win. But it didn't look very pretty in the process. So I think that one way that Predators fans could be looking at it, and frankly, I think some are looking at it of, yeah, you won, but that's discouraging because you came out slow and St. Louis was just, it was right there with you until the very end. And that's concerning because you're going to be playing teams that are better than the St. Louis Blues in the playoffs, whether it's the Colorado Avalanche or the Dallas Stars or the Vancouver Canucks, so on and so forth. I think the way that I view it, though, D-Mace, is when you're in the playoffs, you just have to find a way to win. All the Predators had to do last night was just find a way to win. Was that their best game? No. No, it wasn't. But they still found a way to win. They were able to find the net in 2 out of their 3 power play opportunities. That UC Saros was playing his freaking butt off. And once you get into the playoffs, because that's how I'm looking at the Preds right now, is, yeah, how'd you play? Did you win? Did you lose? But also, if you did that in the playoffs, how would we feel? Can you play that way against a team like Dallas or Colorado? But in the playoffs, you just have to win. You have to find a way to win. That's what the Predators did last night. Not even in their best game. Not even when they came out firing and fast and hungry. It looked like St. Louis wanted it more than they did, at least in the first period. You still found a way to win.
Yeah, you did. And that's what it's about as you start to enter into that sort of playoff phase. It's about how do we figure out a way to win? How do we win? It may look ugly one day. It may look pretty. It may look pretty the other. But how do we win hockey games? We saw against the Boston Bruins. That was a hell of a game the Nashville Predators played. But they end up losing.
Yeah.
Then you watch them against the St. Louis Blues. There was some up and down in their play. It wasn't all peachy creamy. It wasn't all, you know, everything wasn't executed the way it needed to be. But They found a way to win. They won because of their power play. They won because UC Saros stood on his head inside of net. That's what they're going to need once they get in the playoffs. They're going to need to play the way they did against Boston, but win how they won last night against the St. Louis Blues. So, right. You know, one game you play great and lose. Another game you don't play so well, but you end up winning. It's all about just winning, moving on to the next game. So I'm not too worried about the last four games. I know they're 1-3 in that span, but they played some. You can pick out good things in each game as well as you can pick out some bad things. But I think the way they played last night and the play they played against Boston, if you just put those two games together, if they can play like that, then they're going to win more games than not in the playoffs.
The other thing that's really encouraging to me is we've now seen a trend where this team responds really well. Where the power play was awful against Boston, you turn around a couple of days later, your power play is what wins you a had-to-have-it kind of game. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the 9-2 Dallas Stars loss. Andrew Brunette publicly calls out the team for being on vacation. They turn around and go on a historic 18-game point run. So that is what's encouraging to me as well. It's not just all of these things that over time just continue to fester and fester and fester. And look, the power play hasn't been great all season long, but to see it be such an issue and to see it be really, I think, at a season low against Boston, to turn around and see the power play firing as it did last night, much quicker than they looked on Tuesday, the response has been encouraging. And that's a testament to the leaders on this team. And that's also a testament to Andrew Brunette.
Well, then look at on the flip side, look at their defense versus St. Louis power play. St. Louis has six opportunities.
Yeah.
Six opportunities. And the Nashville Predators did an excellent job at penalty killing. They gave up one goal. But beside that, you're talking about a team that is able to score. You hold them to just one goal on six tries. That's unbelievable. I mean, so you can look at some of the bad things that they did in the course of that game yesterday. But then you can look at some good things that they did that will help them moving forward. And one of them is the power play kill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Let's get into some of your thoughts on that.
Kill, excuse me.
Let's get into your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. DMAs, we've got a lot of texts in the text line about the commentary on the ESPN Plus broadcast last night.
Yes.
I will say, I was watching this game last night with Dylan, and Dylan said, "Where's Willie?" Like, all upset, like, because after the first period, he was like, get Willie and C-Mace back on the broadcast, because who are these guys? I have to agree, I didn't love the commentary last night. I could have done without some of the Bucci Gross slang vocab words that he was using, calling like a little scuffle in front of the net greasy. I'm like, come on, like, it just,
it's trying to sound cool, you know.
It felt like a little bit. I found myself wanting more from the commentary. I found myself rolling my eyes from the commentary. I think we're spoiled with some pretty great play-by-play announcers, and last night was a little rough.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't the. I have trouble watching Predator games outside of Willie and C-Mace calling it. I really do. And the Predators have had some great, you know, broadcasting individuals call their games, and they've been, you know, wonderful. Last night wasn't one of them. But even when you get a great, you know, game called, I still miss hearing Willie and C-Mace, because it's like they give you more of that in-depth about the Predators as the game's going on. They talk about what's going on with the players, and you learn more about your team. Now, when they put it on the national stage, you're not going to learn much. If you're just a new fan jumping in and want to see your Predators play, and you caught them last night, you're not going to learn much from a national standpoint, right, about the Predators, because they're trying to talk about both teams, even though it seems like they were a little bit more leaning towards St. Louis at times in that broadcast. But that's neither here nor there. But I I'm with Dylan. I miss Willie and C-Mace whenever they're not calling the games for the Nashville Predators.
I will get back into your thoughts and your reaction on the Predators' win last night, 6-3 over the St. Louis Blues. Per MoneyPuck.com, 99.9% chance of making the playoffs. D-Mace, I'm so frustrated with myself that we didn't ask Willie before he ran. But I wonder now if today Coach Willie can say that this team is in the playoffs.
Or is he still worrywart Willie? Is he still worried about something?
He's still worried about something. He's definitely still worried about something.
There's still that 0.1%.
Yeah, Willie's worried about that 0.1%.
You never know. So you're saying there's a chance. Because I think that's what Blues fans are saying today, because they now have a 0.1% chance of making the playoffs. So they're saying there's a chance. Want to get to your phones on this coming up next. Also coming up next as well, a new Buffalo Bills mock draft. And you're probably thinking to yourself, I could give a hoot about the Buffalo Bills. I get it. I understand. But you're going to want to listen to this one. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, tune in to 102.5 and 106.3 The Game this week for NCAA tournament coverage brought to you by Toyota. Ready, set, go get your Toyota today at toyota.com. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, hey, score big this spring with Lee Company and the Nashville Predators in the 10K Power Play giveaway. Enter for a chance to win a Kohler home generator or $10,000 toward Lee Company Home Services. That's right, a Kohler home generator or $10,000 toward Lee Company Home Services. Go online to leecompany.com/giveaway to enter. That's leecompany.com/giveaway in the 10K Power Play giveaway. Contest entries are accepted until Saturday, April 20th. Lee Company, all you need. We'll get into Ask D-Mace in just under 1 hour. So we'll get to your calls and your texts for D-Mace at 12:30. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get in on the Ask D-Mace action. We've got a bunch of Predators thoughts in our text line. Reaction to the Predators 6-3 win over the St. Louis Blues last night. Before the game, the Predators had a 98.4% chance of making the playoffs per moneypuck.com. After that win, 99.9% chance of making the playoffs. That was the game. That was the one that the Predators had to get, and they got it. So let's get into our thoughts, unless you have a thought, D-Mace.
Let's go to the phones.
Let's get to the phones. Josh from White House, Texan, says, I usually only listen to games due to not paying for Bally or having ESPN Plus, but in the past, the national announcers were always biased against the Preds. Pete's the best guy to listen to. I would agree. Pete is a pretty great guy to listen to. I would just say last night, it was a whole lot of talk about things other than the game. It didn't feel, you and I were talking about this at the break, D-Mace. I didn't feel like I was at the game when I was sitting at home and watching on TV. Willie and C-Mace will make me feel like I am there, like I am into it. Even an opposing team's broadcast, like I'll feel like I'm into it. It felt very lackadaisical last night.
Yeah, it just felt like you were, in a sense, not. It was like you were outside of the game, just sort of listening to it from afar. At least, and that may not make sense, but that's how I saw it. It was like I wasn't really into the game. Willie and C-Mace make me feel like you said, like we're there, like we're into the game. And maybe, you know, maybe we're biased because it's Willie and C-Mace. But they do such a tremendous job at breaking things down and making it so even the novice of hockey fans can understand it. And it seemed like yesterday they were talking around hockey rather than actually talking about hockey and what was going on at every minute. And then they were a little bit one-sided at times for the St. Louis Blues, at least in my opinion.
We got a bunch of thoughts on the broadcast last night. Hair Metal Henry Texan says, Bucci Gross is great for recaps and highlights, but not so much on a broadcast. Give me AJ Molesko any day of the week. I would agree. I love AJ Molesko, and I also would agree that Bucci Gross is fun for highlights. He's fun at the Sports Center desk. It's just not everybody can do everything. And I didn't love the play-by-play last night.
Nah, and it, you know, it's, I think it's a sentiment, you know, across the board for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say what everybody, but it seems like a lot of texts we're getting is about, you know, last night's game and how it was called.
Another texter texts into the text line, says it's the same thing every single year. The Predators will get hot and then fall short in the playoffs. I don't know how you can watch what this team has done and is doing and say that this is the same old Predators, because this is a different perspective. And even if the Predators do, and D-Base, I want your thoughts on this, and you set me straight if I'm completely off on this.
Okay.
In the past, let's say in 2022, the Predators squeaked into the playoffs. They get swept by the Colorado Avalanche. It never felt like they really had a chance. And even making the playoffs felt frustrating, because it was just like, look, you're trying to run it back. You're trying to force something with the core group from the 17 and 18 team, something that's just frankly not working. If the Predators find themselves in the playoffs and they're bounced in the first round, I'm not going to say that it has the same feeling as it did in 2022, because it's a completely different vision. It's a new general manager and a new coach, and you're going in a different direction. It's not the same. Even if the outcome is the same, it doesn't feel the same way. This doesn't feel like same old Predators.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't feel like the same old Predators. And listen, they didn't qualify for the playoffs last season, so we can't say, well, it's the same old Predators, just squeaking in and then end up getting put out in the playoffs early. They got put, you know, they didn't make it last year. They got put out in the playoffs early the year before that. Well, hell, I think any team that played the Colorado Avalanche got put out. So it wasn't just the Nashville Predators. And they skated into the playoffs 2 years ago injured. You know, one of their best players, which is their goalie, was not in net.
And they weren't a very good team.
Exactly. And they were not. This team is different from other teams. Will they get bounced in the playoffs in the first round? They may just as well get bounced in the playoffs in the first round. But that doesn't mean that they're the same old Nashville Predators. This team is different. This team is it looks different from what it did last year when they didn't qualify for the playoffs. It looks different from what it did 2 years ago when they did qualify for the playoffs. I think this is a better and deeper team than it has been the last three seasons.
And I think the difference, too, is I'm going into this season's playoffs, and whoever the Predators play, mm-hmm. whether it's the Colorado Avalanche, whether it's the Dallas Stars, whoever, I'll go into this playoffs the way that the Predators have been playing and the way that they have proven to us that they, the level that they can get to, that I have a sense of optimism that they can get to the second round. I didn't have that sense of optimism in 2022. In 2022, it was like just, you know, four games, you know, put us out of our misery. Like, you know, it's going to be a rough go. There's a shred of optimism that I have watching this team that, hey, why not? Why can't the Predators get to the second round of the playoffs the ways that they've been playing against cup contenders? Why not? So no, it's not the same old Predators. And I heard Joe talking about this morning on Robbie and Joe, and he said this is the most exciting Predators team since like that 18-19 year. And I can't speak to that because I wasn't here, but I can say that this is the most exciting Predators team that I've seen since I've gotten to Nashville. And that includes the 21 team that got bounced by Carolina in a competitive series. Oh, I think we may have lost teammates again, but we'll work on his mic at the break and coming up next. Stefan Diggs traded to the Houston Texans on, what was that, Wednesday morning, and it sent us all in a frenzy. What does this mean for the AFC South? What does it mean for the Bills? So on and so forth. But a little change to that situation with Stefan Diggs. And frankly, I need somebody to explain this to me. Because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense what the Houston Texans are doing with Stefan Diggs' contract. And we'll break that down coming up next. We'll get into your thoughts as well. Ask Dean Mace in 30 minutes. So get those questions in for Derek Mason. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, Dean Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.